I want to welcome each one back to our service this evening. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual growth, growing as a Christian, and what that means. How does God measure it? What is growth in His eyes? Well, the book of 2 Peter is a book about Christian growth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the author tells us what it means when he says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so Christian growth is about getting to know Jesus and about growing to be like Jesus. Christian growth can be measured by the changes that take place in our life. Some of these changes, which are enumerated in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Where Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now we've already spoken of the faith, which is the foundation of our Christian growth. The virtue, which is a desire for the excellence or desire for excellence that as we strive for growth, the knowledge of God's will that shows us how we are to grow, the self-control that it takes to apply God's word to our lives, and the next step that it takes to apply God's word to our life, the next step of Christian maturity is found in verse 6, where the writer says, "And add to your self-control perseverance." Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, it uses the word patience. The Revised Standard Version renders it as steadfastness. In other places, it is translated as long-suffering. The Greek word involved here is the word hupomone, which literally means to abide under. Strong defines it as hopeful endurance. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia describes it as suffering, enduring, waiting as a matter of choice, not just necessity. You know, a lot of people think of perseverance as a sort of grit your teeth and bear it. But the quality of perseverance is not a passive quality, but it is an active quality. Someone has compared the two in this way. If it was passive, it would be like a ship anchored in a storm, being tossed about by the wind and the waves, and yet it is held secure. Now, that is good as far as it goes, but the word implies more. Think of a ship that is sailing in spite of the storm, pressing on in spite of the obstacles. Adam Clark describes it as bearing all trials and difficulties with an even mind, enduring in all and persevering through all. And as with every one of these graces, the quality of perseverance is exemplified in the life of Jesus. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first three verses that we read together in our scripture reading tonight, it talks about this quality in the life of Jesus. When we are told, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility toward himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So we can reach the point in our Christian life when we say, "You know, I don't think I can endure any more." And that's when we need to look at Jesus and we need to see what it was that he endured for us. And that should give us the strength, that should give us the encouragement that we need to persevere. Perseverance is not just bearing up with trials, but it is overcoming trials. It is being victorious over them. Now, perseverance does not stand alone in our Christian growth. We've already seen that it is founded upon faith and knowledge and self-control, but it is also a necessary step toward maturity. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Perseverance is the strength that we gain from trials. It is the character that develops as we are confronted with these trials. So we become strong in order to survive. We become strong enough to survive. And that gives us hope. There is a hymn that we sing that says, each victory helps us some other to win. And so an attitude of perseverance is that with the help of God, that we're going to make it. Perseverance is necessary for salvation. It is absolutely necessary for us to keep on keeping on. Because salvation is promised to those who are faithful unto the very end. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give unto you the crown of life. And so who will be saved? Those who persevere. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, it speaks of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. You know, there are so many who start to live the Christian life and fall by the wayside. A church directory to me is a record both of sadness and joy. Because on the one hand, we see the pictures of our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ that we believe with all confidence have gone on to their reward. But there are also many pictures of those once faithful who have now returned to the world. We fail to persevere. If we fail to persevere, there will be no reward. But only, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10 and verse 27, a certain fearful expectation of judgment. In the day of judgment, there will be no partial credit for service rendered before one falls away. In the context of warning about those who become unfaithful, in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 20, the prophet said, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. And so we have to persevere. We have to endure in order to have any hope of heaven. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 says, For we have need of endurance, so that after we have done the will of God, we may receive the promise. So now how do we develop this perseverance? What does it require of us? Well, first of all, it requires the right elements. What are these elements? Well, first, I think that I have mentioned this with every one of the Christian graces that we have studied. Because being in the Word of God is essential. No part of spiritual growth takes place that is not founded in Scripture. It is by studying God's Word that faith develops and we learn God's will and we develop the self-control to follow it. The Bible tells us many stories of those who remain faithful to God and how God delivered them. And that helps us to be patient in our trials and have hope. Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 4 that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. So the first step towards developing this necessary endurance, this necessary perseverance, is to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. In every one of those examples that we have, many of those examples that are found in the Old Testament are lessons to us. They're written for our learning so that we can develop the same patience and comfort by understanding their lives and how God delivered them. And so we need the Word of God. Secondly, prayer also helps. And as we ask for God for strength and for the grace to persevere, it helps for us to pray for one another. Even as Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, in Colossians 1 and verse 11, he said that they would be strengthened by all might, or with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering. And so Paul was praying for them, and he asked them to pray for him, because prayer helps us as we struggle with the difficulties in life. But even the trials themselves serve as a part of the process of spiritual growth. You know, in the realm of physical training, physical conditioning, there is a saying that people use that says, no pain, no gain. And you know, the reality, the same thing is true when it comes to our Christian lives as well. Where there are no challenges, faith is easy but remains weak. Faith becomes strong when it's tested, when it is purified by the fire of trials. Trials produce perseverance, and perseverance prepares us to endure. So developing perseverance requires the right elements, but it also requires the right perspective. It's not our trials that will make or break us, but rather it will be the way that we respond to them. I heard a story about a mother who sought to demonstrate to her daughter this principle. And on the stove she had three pots of boiling water. Into one of those pots she put a carrot, into another one she put an egg, and to the other one she put coffee. Now that's the one I'd be interested in. But the result of that was that they, when subjected to that same hot water, to that same trial, it brought out their nature, it changed their nature. The carrot became soft, the egg became hard, but the coffee changed the nature of that trial that it was subjected to. We can learn to deal with perseverance and overcome adversity by looking at trials from the proper perspective. First of all, we can learn perseverance by looking at Jesus and how he dealt with the trials and tribulations of this life. After all, he is the author and finisher of our faith, who has given us an example that we should walk in his steps. Jesus' example involved adversity. And we are told the way that he responded to adversity was that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. His trial included suffering, but when he suffered, he did not threaten. How did Jesus persevere? He persevered by committing himself to him who judges righteously. We can do the same thing. No situation that we must face on earth is bigger than eternity. And so it is not the reason for us to get discouraged. It is not for us to give up hope, but rather we must persevere. And we see how to persevere by looking at the life of Jesus. We can look at perseverance by looking at the trials of those who have gone on before us, those who have faced trials and tribulation and have persevered. When we go into the fifth chapter of James, James uses the illustration of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And when we look at the things that they had to endure, you look at Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 38, and that is the catch-all. We have those wonderful stories of those men and women of faith and how they demonstrated their trust in God, and they were obedient to God, and how God delivered them. And then it's like the Hebrew writer is just kind of running out of time. And so he lumps everyone together, everyone else together. And he talks about the fact that they were mocked, scourged, tortured, in prison, stoned. They were slain with swords. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on this earth. And yet, they persevered. And when we look at what some have endured, we look at what some have encountered in the way of persecution, in the way of trials, what have we ever really had to suffer for Christ? What excuse do we give for not being faithful? Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Thirdly, we can learn perseverance by looking at one another. We need one another's encouragement to keep on running the Christian race. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, reflecting back to that list of the faithful and the things that they endured, the writer then says about this great, being surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, those who endured. And so we are encouraged by them to put off every weight of sin and to run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is kind of appropriate as we find ourselves in the midst of an Olympic game. The allusion here is actually to a stadium, if you will, where a race is being run. And you envision, if you will, that the stands are filled with people who are calling their encouragement. They're cheering us on. Well, in our Christian life, the same thing is true. We are struggling even as others have struggled. And we are being encouraged by those who are looking on, both in this life and those who have gone on before us. It helps to be cheered on. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says that we are to exhort one another daily. Now, we all know the importance of being together as a church. Hebrews 10 and verse 24, we look at that as a commandment, and it is, but have we looked at the intent of the command? We are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But why is it so essential? Yes, we need to worship God. We could worship alone, but God knows that it's important for us to come together. And the reason that is given in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 is so that we can consider one another or encourage one another to love and good works. You see, we are our brother's keeper. We are here to help one another go to heaven. And so when a brother or sister in Christ is doing well, we commend them. When he is struggling, we encourage them. When he's in danger of falling away, we warn him. The times that we are assembled are essential to our remaining faithful. I was talking to a fellow not long ago who right now you would have to consider to be unfaithful. Over the course of the years, this is a pattern. He'll be faithful for a while, and then he'll begin to absent himself. And his answer was, well, he wanted to come back, but first of all, he said that he had to, he was struggling to overcome a particular sin. And I told him, that's exactly the time that we need to be here. That is the time when we can be strengthened by God's word and by God's people. And that we can encourage one another. In fact, if we want to persevere and be strong, a once or twice a week at the building only relationship with other Christians is not going to be sufficient because we are to exhort one another daily. And so do you have a Christian brother or sister that you can turn to? Do you make yourself available to those who need you? If you do, you are much more likely to endure under trials. Fourthly, we can learn perseverance by looking to the future for the prize that is set before us if we persevere. Going to heaven should be our foremost purpose in life. And so we must not give up. We can't look back. We have to keep running. If you fall, don't give up. Pick yourself up and keep on running. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, Paul talks about this singular focus. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Certainly, whatever we must endure in this life will be worth it when we attain heaven. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 18, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So what situations in life require perseverance to overcome? Well, perseverance is required in trying circumstances. There are times that remaining active in our service to the Lord is difficult. You know, there have been those in this congregation, now and in times past, that have really inspired me because they endured great difficulties. Difficulties brought on by sickness or affliction and other things in order to be in our assembly to worship God. There were times when you knew it was difficult, but their heart was there. And because their heart was there, they followed after. We learn what perseverance is all about from them. There are some people, however, that use trials as an excuse for not serving. Some allow every little ache and pain to keep them away. Some allow a conflict with another brother or sister to be an excuse for their not being what God expects them to be. To demonstrate perseverance, we must press on. We have to serve faithfully, working for the Lord to the best of our ability and capability, in spite of difficulties or disappointments that we may face along the way. Remember, eternal life is promised to those who patiently continue in doing good. And so we need perseverance when we're confronted by trials. And yes, we need perseverance when we are involved in tempting situations. Satan continually tempts us to do the things that will destroy our soul. He appeals to our lust, to our pride. He makes sin appealing. He lies by hiding the consequences from our eyes. And there's not a single one of us who is beyond being tempted. When temptation comes, we must say no. Now, it would be wrong if I said that it was always easy. But it is always right. To persevere is the bearing up under trials. It is to rise above them. It is to prevail. During our times of trial and temptation, we must keep on keeping on. In temptation, we must turn our backs on Satan's enticement while continuing to do the good that God would have us to do. It is never right to do wrong. And yet we have been promised, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that God is with us. He has assured us no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so we've just got to continue being faithful. And we have to look for the way of escape that God has promised us. God is never going to allow us to be in a situation where the only choice we have is to do wrong. But we must be faithful to Him. You know, perseverance is really just an extended version of self-control. Self-control is a daily exercise. Perseverance is self-control exercised today, and then tomorrow, and then every other day as long as we live. And so why is perseverance important? Well, Jesus tells us in Luke 21 and verse 19, by your patience you possess your soul. I like the way the English Standard Version translates that. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. This evening, are you on that journey that will lead you to heaven? We all have choices to make because God has given us the free will to make those choices. We lose sight of the goal many times. And we become preoccupied with things of this life, things of this world. Trials overwhelm us, temptations overcome us. And we feel like we're doing okay if most of the time we're faithful. Now, I'm not saying that we will ever be without sin, because we do fall short of God's glory. But our direction must never waver. We must walk in the light as He is in the light. He promises us, if we do, that the blood that we contact when we're baptized continues to cleanse us from our sins. And so when we do sin, we confess that and we repent of that, and God forgives us. But we have to be dedicated to a life that is lived to serve the Lord and be obedient to Him. The first step in that journey that leads to heaven is to obey the gospel. Tonight, if you've not been obedient to the gospel, we encourage you to render that obedience. Or it may be that as a Christian, you may recognize, you may realize that you have not been adding things to your faith that you need to persevere. And so all of us can look introspectively into our lives and pray that we'll be strengthened. But it may be that there are things in your life in which you need help. You need God's help, and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So the Lord's invitation is always extended. If this is your need, we encourage you to come. While together we stand and while we sing.